Welcome back to the table for the Friday, August 23, 2024 installment of Market Plus. Joining us now, Chris Robinson. That is a mouthful to say. But Chris, we had a little longer time in the TV show. I know you know it doesn't fly by, but there were two questions that stood out to me on something that you said. One was about volatility. To me, I'm not you, but it looked like given over the last, I'll say, 8 weeks, volatility's been limited.
Yes.
Throw out the last 2 to 4 years where volatility's been crazy.
Yeah.
It looked like this week we had volatility back, but you say no. Why?
I'm more concerned about what happens in the next 2 or 3 months. We're going to have busy days. We're so overdue for some fireworks. I agree with you. But I think people are really coming to grips now with the fact that it's a big crop, it's a big carryout. And boy, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, that's hard to do.
All right, then that's my other question. What happens if people don't sell and they hold on and they just sit and wait? Would the end user panic and bid things up? That's the conspiracy theory presented to me this week by friends.
Well, if I'm looking at the world as a farmer producer, I sure do hope that's what happens. But most end users are doing two things. They're going hand to mouth, which is they're just buying it as they need it, or they're going out, and I just worked with a client today where they are a big end user, and we're going out now and buying 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, really, really cheap out of the money calls because they don't know either. They don't want to be left behind either. They're used to paying, you know, $4 for corn now. They don't want to go back to paying $6.50. They're used to paying $5.50 for wheat now. They don't want to go back to paying $9 or $10. So they are hedging their risk as well. So I think that we're going to probably have to wait till January to see if we really get a big recovery. Or if something changes politically and we see a big spike in demand, because we do have, especially in soybeans, we have burdensome carryouts. That's the word I have to use. Borrowed from some other people. And China knows that. We grow 4 billion bushels of soybeans. Looks like we're going to go close to 5 billion this year. And China takes, you know, a billion of it. They take 25% of our crop.
Well, let's go to the questions then, because Glenn in Iowa is going to be where we start off. And he asked, trouble with yields around the world. But his question is, how big will our demand end up being? Where does it come from?
Well, I could just mention China takes
right.
1/4 of our bean crop. Ethanol takes 1/3 of our corn crop. Thank goodness for ethanol. And we'll see, you know, if depending on who wins the next election, will they push for even more ethanol? Because that is a natural demand for producers. And that's a big deal.
But hasn't fuel use and miles driven leveled off
yes.
to the point that there's maybe not as much, even if that happens?
Yes.
Does that give you pause for concern?
It gives me pause for concern, because if suddenly they're not taking 5 billion bushels of a 15 billion bushel crop, that's what? That's more supply. So that there's a risk there for producer. And for an end user, they can see the same math as well. So if I'm a farmer, if you want to get back to the question, and I've done nothing and I've sold nothing, if you can store it, you have to, it's just a math problem. But if you store it, you have to give yourself a floor, and there's a cost to giving yourself a floor. Some people that I think they're, if you do bite the bullet and say, I'm just going to, you know, sell X percentage, then get it done and then look for an opportunity. And there are strategies out there where you can re-own it for the next 3, 4, 5, 6 months, spend 13, 14, 15 cents. You don't have to go out and spend 25 or 30 cents, and you can stay in the game. So if you're in that boat, if you're like, you know, I don't want to sell, but I have to sell, make sure that you look at a re-ownership strategy.
Well, that's a little bit of an answer to this question, Gary in Wisconsin. Should farmers be selling all their beans and holding corn? So that's a specific scenario that I've seen, and I've also seen the inverse of that.
Yeah. My experience working with producers now for 15, 16 years, farmers are more apt to want to store corn and sell beans. It's just pretty much most people stay with their patterns. I would say this, no matter what if you feel like you have to sell, I don't care if you're selling corn, wheat, or beans here, take a look at strategies to re-own them. If you're gonna store it, make sure you really do the spreadsheet and realize, okay, what's my risk? What's it cost me? You need to know those numbers, because those numbers may tell you what you need to do. Those numbers may tell you, you know what, you're better off selling here and re-owning. But I think it's an individual decision for everybody.
William has a question in Iowa that came via X that is aligned with that. 2014 to 2024 charts have been trading strikingly similar all year. Should we be eyeing 1050 January beans as possible sale price point harvest or price post-harvest before the end of the year?
I would say this. I would say keep a floor and look for any rally we get. We haven't had much more than a 50-cent rally in a while. If you get a 50-cent or a dollar rally, here's the key. Make sure you actually make the sale. Well, I've seen it too many times in my years doing this where we get to our sale point, and it's like, well, I'm going to wait because you're talking about volatility. Sometimes it's there for a day or two, then it's gone. I mean, we saw that this summer. We had that one little blip up in corn. We had a nice $1.25 rally in beans. You know, beans were north of $12. You know, and then because when it turns. So yeah, have a target price that you're comfortable selling at. Defend what you own until you sell it. When it hits that target price, make sure you pull the trigger. Make sure you don't hesitate. Which is, it's a hard thing to do. Most people, if you're a human being, you tend to second guess yourself, and everybody does it.
You've kind of answered this, but I'm going to ask it very specific. Phil in Ontario, in lieu of a black swan coming out of Russia and Ukraine, and grain prices, what they are, what do farmers do with unpriced grain and harvest looming? You've mentioned a number of strategies, but I guess I want to ask a specific part of his, add to his specific part. What's your percentage right now that I should leave unpriced?
It depends. That's an individual question. Most risk managers, myself included, some people are anywhere from 30 to 45% sold, right? And we did that earlier in the year. Some people will be more sold, some people will be less sold. But everybody else has had an opportunity to either protect 480 corn, 450 corn, certainly $10 beans, $11 beans when we were at 13. If you've done nothing, I would say sell what you have to, protect what you can. You don't want to be spending a whole lot of money on puts when we're at four-year lows, because what are you defending? We just broke $3 already in beans, right? Is there another 50 cents or dollars worth of risk? Yeah, but so don't spend a fortune to defend that risk. Same thing with corn. Corn's dropped $1.10 already. Don't spend a fortune to protect the next 30 or 40 cents. But absolutely positively keep a floor until you sell it, because nobody can tell you with certainty that we don't keep grinding lower. And I would look back to 2014 where that happened. 2014, we had a little blip. That corn market just kept grinding lower into right about the end of the year, and then it turned.
Okay, you kind of covered this one about the size of the crop when we started. But what do we do, like William's question? What are we going to do if we do have massive crop? Because the market thinks we're going to have a massive crop. It's both good and bad. So what are we going to do?
Well, again, it depends. Some people are in a different situation. It depends on, are you paying cash rent? Do you own? How long have you been farming? How you know, do you have to actually move that crop? It's never fun to make decisions when we're at four-year lows. So I would say this. Rather than making an emotional decision, get together with your banker. Get together with not just, you know, me as a risk manager. There's a dozen guys out there that are good at what they do. And help them, ask them to help you get a plan, because everybody's in a different situation. I don't want to sound like I'm not answering the question, but for me to tell you and say, do A plus B plus C and you'll be fine, it depends on everybody. So,
right.
You know, if you have to sell, I'll say this with open arms. If you feel like you have to sell here, sometime in the next 3-4 months, look for an opportunity to re-own it, because we may get a recovery, and re-owning it will allow you to participate in that rally, you know, if we get it.
I just needed you to say it for the fifth time. That's all. I keep asking. I know you've answered it.
It's okay.
But it's important, because you do need to hear it.
Yeah.
What about diesel fuel, unleaded fuel? Is that a bright spot?
It's a bright spot. And it's also maybe a sign that, you know, inputs have stayed high. Maybe inputs, by the time we're rolling in April, will have readjusted the way everything else has readjusted, where they're like, okay, we can't charge as much for that. And what am I talking about? We've got diesel at a 15-month low. You've got unleaded gas at about a, I think about a 1 year low, 8 month. So it's that's rolling over. Mm-hmm. You have crude oil, which is dancing right around 70. It's a lot better than when we were at 95. So that may be something. Also, lastly, natural gas. Natural gas had a little bit of a blip, but it's still at decade lows. It's at, you know, 10, 20 year lows if you take a look at that. And I'm not talking about the price maybe exactly today, but big picture, if you look at where we are on the big picture scale. And then lastly, the US dollar. US dollar is going lower because the Fed has indicated they are going to cut rates. The dollar is moving lower. That's going to help our exports. It's not going to hurt it. And I don't know if it's going to be a 100-mile-an-hour wind where, oh, that the dollar is lower. Let's step in and, you know, buy all their grain. But it's going to help. And but I think from a farmer producer standpoint, I think it's always better to see diesel fuel at 210, 220 than where we were 2 years ago. So there's your silver lining.
See, we'll end on something positive.
That's right.
All right, Chris, good
glass
to see you again.
Glass half full.
That's right.
Glass half full. Right.
All right. Chris Robinson, thank you much.
Thank you.
That is going to do it for our Market Plus. Next week, we are going to begin our series of lookbacks at the first 50 years of this program, and we'll have the commodity market analysis of Sue Martin's. Thank you so very much for watching. We'll see you next time.